Christ alone.
Lost and ruined by the fall.
just rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow. And now I'm feeling fine. And yeah, walking on the highway with my Lord, my Maker's written down in the courts of all. It's shine time in heaven. Oh, yes, it's shine time. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow.
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. We read in Revelation 15, verse 3, they sang the song of the Lamb, great and marvelous are your deeds. Let's sing, I will sing the wonder introduction. We will go into the chorus, I worship you, Almighty God. Sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing to see. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Singing the great hymn, page 345, Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost with His...
Let's sing it out.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. So good to have everyone here this morning. We're looking forward to hearing from Brother Terrell Hudson in just a few moments, but we have a baptism to conclude service today, so I'm going to give you just a few announcements here, and then we will pray for the rest of our service, and our special will come right after that, and then we'll hear from Dr. Hudson. I want to remind everyone that this is the last week of our current service schedule, so next Sunday, we'll begin to have an early service at 9 a.m., and so that service, that's for all of you Bible readers that just want to come in and get the Word of God, and then go to Sunday school and go home, and beat us to Bob Evans, right? And so that's the 9 a.m. service, and then at 10 a.m., we'll have our Sunday school hour, so I'm hoping that 45 minutes will encourage some of you to get here for Sunday school and see that Sunday school ministry grow. Our teachers do a fabulous job there. So next week, 9 a.m. early service, 10 a.m. Sunday school. And then for you folks that just can't get up that early, we'll have a later service at 11 a.m. So we'll have our 11 a.m. service. The choir will be in that service. We'll have nursery and junior church during that service. All of our new tracks, all of our kids' tracks, all of those things are here and out there in the lobby, and so it has all of our new times on it. So if you say, I can't remember that, grab one of those. Take it home with you. Put it on your refrigerator. If you continue to text me or my wife or somebody from the church and you don't grab one of those tracks, then you're just going to be late because we're going to stop answering you. We're going to say, grab the tracks. All right? We bought those for a reason. We want you to know what they are. We want you to look at that and take some of those home. Then also, I want to remind the guys today, right after service, no children at this, but men sixth grade and up are encouraged and welcome to come to the Brobecue for Brother Matthew Backscheider back there. He is going to be married October 20th to Sister Miranda Sternscher. And so we're looking forward to that. I'm practicing Matthew and Miranda because I got to use their government names at the marriage, at the wedding, right? I'm practicing. So you're like, everybody's like, who is Miranda? I don't know, but just know that I got to practice the government names. But we're looking forward to that. So right after serving, we've got some brisket, macaroni and cheese, baked beans, green beans for you fellas, some cookies. Ladies, sorry, this one's not for you. Barbecue time. Then we also have a men's conference coming up here at Mansfield Baptist Temple next Sunday morning after the late service, okay? So this is after the late service. If you're interested, see me. If you are coming to the early service next week, that's fine. See me about the men's conference. I'll give you the information right after that morning service next week. the early service, just you and I or whoever, and I'll get you all that information as well if you want to go to that. Looking forward to that. Brother Kurt Skelly, Brother Kenny Baldwin, and others will be there speaking at that. So it'll be a great Independent Baptist, Mansfield Baptist Temple time there. And then we also want to encourage all of our folks with the building fund or making capital improvements here at the church. We've got a couple of quotes coming out tomorrow. We've already done a few things, getting some things just updated and changed, and some of the door closers and things like that fixed up as well. We had a great commission night. People came in and cleaned and did all kinds of deep cleaning, and thank you for that. Appreciative. People went out and door knocked and doing all of those things. But we're looking to raise $40,000. We got $39,000 to go so that we can get the new flooring and paint. We've got some window treatments coming, which those are already paid for, but we also are going to be redesigning the baptistry, making it a little bit bigger because I can't raise my hands all the way up in there, and we've been baptizing a lot of people, so praise God for that. Today, we're going to break our record in the history of Assurance Baptist Church. This will be the most baptisms we've had in 1 year today, so praise God for that. But we're going to be, they have a child that's active that can go out there and see the service out there, so there's lots of stuff that's coming, but we want to make sure that before we do that, we're not going to go in debt to do it. Amen. So you got the money in your pockets. God's rich and he loves us. And so we want to encourage you on that. And then fifth quarter for our youth group is this Friday night, October 6th. It's weird to say that, October 6th, this Friday night, fifth quarter. You're going to be meeting at the home of Philip and Cynthia Harris. It's a little hard to see on the bulletin because of the way the flyer was made, but that's okay. We can get you that address. Northmont versus Springboro. Northmont's having a great year, and so that's their homecoming game, 6:30 to 10 p.m. You're going to go there and then go over to the game. The game is $9. And then also this year for the first time, we were invited and we're taking part of it, our Salt and Light Bible study at Northmont Middle School. We had a great See You at the Pole, over 20 kids and teachers with us on last week, and then our Salt and Light Bible study had a really high number as well, but we're actually in Northmont's homecoming parade this year. So next Thursday, while some of us are out on Grow, the youth group and their team are going to be in the parade, walking, handing out those Salt and Light and church tracks to all the people there up and down Union Road and Englewood. So excited about that as well. Gives us a great opportunity to get the gospel out there and have a good time. So a lot of stuff coming up. Get a copy of the bulletin and make sure that you stay up to date. Sister Cynthia does a great job on the website, and my wife does a great job with Facebook, so you can look at all those places as well to stay updated with what's going on. Highly encourage that. Well, let's have a word of prayer. We have several folks in our church family who are just down with some illnesses or other things that are going on with them, so we want to lift them up in our prayers today. We have some other folks that are traveling, and we want them to be very safe in their travel mercies, and some of them will be back tonight and tomorrow. And then a reminder of this, and I'll remind you this all week, but we have a wonderful opportunity to hear from a great man of God and all week in these revival services. And let your heart be revived. Make it a commitment and a priority right now, save for work or some kind of sickness, that you are going to be here for every service this week. Tonight at 5 p.m., we're sweetening the deal right after service tonight. Don't bring a quart because I was told that's too little. Bring a half a gallon. That's what I was told. Half a gallon of your favorite ice cream. The church has all the toppings here. Bring a half a gallon of ice cream, and we're going to have ice cream Sunday night, right after service tonight. And then tomorrow night, we've got Young at Hearts, our 55 and over ministry, and a hymn sing. Tuesday night, our youth ministry will be leading that. And then Wednesday night, an all give to missions. We're looking to give an offering to missions this every other year that we can give to a missions project somewhere throughout the world. And we can be a blessing that way. So I encourage you, tonight's at 5 p.m., then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Be here. There's no noon service on Wednesday because we want everybody to come here at 7 p.m. to hear from Dr. Hudson, okay? Well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll have our special, and then we'll hear from our guest. Father God, thank you so much for this day you have given us. Lord, we are looking so forward to this time of revival. Lord, not just the revival meeting, but a time of revival and renewal in our hearts. Father, we're asking today that you would help us and guide us as we endeavor to hear from the Word of God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our heart, allow us not to grieve the Spirit, but to yield unto the Spirit today. Lord, we're asking that you would be with our specialists today, give them power and courage as they would worship you with song and, Lord, with deed, power that you've anointed them with so many years now, that we would be not just hearers of the Word today, but doers also. Father, we now ask for any interruptions, anything that would stop us from hearing what you want us to hear today, to go away, and that we would hear from you. Lord, we ask these things today, that they be done mightily in the name of Jesus, Amen and amen.
The power of the cross.
Man, I had a couple of thoughts when they were singing and signing. One, that I'm really old. Sister Sophie, Birdie back there, new baby, and Miss Maddie having their second child, and I've been watching them and listening to them sing and sign for a long time, since they were little girls, and so now they're mothers and married, and made me feel old a little bit. My second thought was it was really good, and praise be to God, and thank you for that. Sister Sophie's first time signing here at Assurance Baptist Church, and I know Henry's on you right now. It's a hard time, so appreciate you this morning. We're so glad. Well, this morning, my friend and someone I consider a mentor, I said it before, last summer he came and preached at our Surprise Sunday, so some of you know him. I remember preaching at a preacher's meeting, and you know me, I don't really ever get nervous to preach, but Dr. Hudson showed up to that meeting, and I was preaching at it, and it was like the first time I was ever nervous. He's so smart and well thought, and I thought, what am I ever going to say today when I preach that this guy is not going to know, like he's going to think I'm just a complete moron, right? But he was gracious, and he didn't say anything like that. He thought it, but he didn't say it. And he is a blessing. He was the pastor of Moraine Heights Baptist Church, and now he's the staff evangelist there over in Moraine. And that church, when he was the pastor, was the first church to support our sending church in Wilmington, Ohio. And so a cool connection there. And I remember seeing that old picture of you guys out in front of the storefront, you and Pastor McInerney, and what a blessing he has been to me and to just this area, honestly. And so today, we're going to have Brother Hudson come this morning. He's going to be preaching for us all week. I pray that you'll listen, that you'll take the time in your life to come every service this week, and you will be transformed, because the Bible says that we can't be anything else, that when we get it, it's not just information, but it's transformation. Amen? And we're looking for that this week. So I would ask you to give a big Assurance Baptist Church welcome to my friend and to our revival speaker this year, Dr. Terrell Hudson.
Well, it's good to be in God's house. Amen. I appreciate that, preacher. Bless your heart. I love that music. That was wonderful. If that don't ring your bell, your clapper's missing. Amen. That rang my bell, and it stirred my heart. But it's good to be here. I love your preacher and his family, and it's good to see you all. It's good to be in God's house on God's day with God's word in your hand and God's spirit in your heart. Amen. And among God's people. I'd rather be here than anywhere I know, because I think this is where God wants me to be right now. And I am glad that you are here. I'm looking forward to these days that we have together. This doesn't make sense in a way, but now you just wait and see. You wait and see. This meeting's going to be over in a few minutes. I'm not meaning this morning. I mean, it'll be Wednesday night before you know it. I mean, it will. It just, what happened? And these days will pass so quickly if we get them. It'd be fine with me to finish up in heaven, amen. And that's very possible. But if we get them and we're still here, they will come and go quickly. And days of harvest, you have to take advantage of it when the time comes, or it all goes wrong. You see what I'm saying? And we've scheduled these days, and the Lord's led your pastor for. So let God speak to our hearts. Amen. I always pray, Lord, start with me. Start in my heart. And then God speak to your heart. And folks, you listen. None of us are there yet. I mean, I know we're saved. I get that. And I believe in the eternal security of the believer with all of my heart. Amen. Argue if you want to, but I'll win. I can do better. There's room for improvement in my heart. I want to love him more. I want to be more like him. And I don't want to be as one that beateth the air. I'm going on 69 years old. I know how to just go through the motions. You don't have to be real smart to figure it out in 69 years. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, 3 points at a poem and tell a little joke and shake some hands and grin great big, you know, and say amen and go home. You know, you know how to do that too. You know, you come in, you shake hands, you sit down, you know, you open your Bible up and all that. Then you go, that's kind of like getting in the shower with an umbrella. Let's let God speak to our hearts. Amen? Amen. Invite somebody to come with you. Let the Lord lay some soul upon your heart. Let God love that person through you. And text them or call them or run by and knock on their door and say, church is having a revival meeting. The music is wonderful, and I've got wonderful friends I want you to meet. And the preacher's, you know, I'm teasing. I met this preacher. That sounded awful, didn't it? I don't preach great messages. I don't. If you're waiting for Hear Payday Someday, Google it. Listen to R.G. Lee. You know what I'm saying? But I don't preach great sermons because I don't know how. But I will do the very best I can to let God speak to my heart and with a sermon that God lays on my heart, what I need to do about it, and then that I could share it with you. Does that make sense? And then that we could all be in subjection to the Spirit of God and let God speak to our hearts. But anyway, if you're here this morning visiting, I don't know all of y'all. If you're a visitor, come back and hear my friend preach. Amen. You know, he'll bless your heart. But I appreciate the invitation. I mean that, and it's just good to be here. Take your Bible, Psalm 31. Will you do that? Psalm 31. And I want to read just a couple of verses. I believe last time I was here, I always try to keep notes so you don't preach the same thing twice too close together. You know what I'm saying? I believe I preached on the fifth sparrow and the second mile of last time I was here, if I remember right, kind of the numbers sermons. The fifth sparrow and the... So I try not to tell the same stories twice or jokes twice. If I do, don't move your lips. It confuses me, okay? I act like you never heard it before, all right? But this morning, Psalm 31, and we'll read two verses, very, very similar in the same chapter. But Psalm 31 and verse number 1, David said, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." And then look at verse 17. David said, "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave." In both of those verses, the statement that I want us to look at this morning is David said, "Let me..." Let's pray together. Can we do that? Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you that we have it in our language and preserved, infallible, inspired. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us now as we rightly divide it. Lord, I have stood in many a pulpit where the arm of flesh has failed me. And it will again if I would be so foolish as to trust it. So Lord, help me not to do that, but to depend upon you. And Lord, help me just to say what I should and nothing more or nothing less. Lord, I want to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'd help me as I proclaim your word, and we know that the word will not return void. Lord, if there be one here this morning lost that's not ready for eternity, I pray this would be the day that they get it settled, that they make their mind up right now that they are not going to miss heaven. And Lord, then to each of your children, God, I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts. Lord, show us those areas in our life that need attention, Lord, where we can do better and be more like you. Lord, when we leave this place this morning, I pray we'll leave more in love with you than we were when we came in. Lord, I pray for folks not able to be here. That would be if they could. Lord, I pray for people who, Lord, I know in my home church, and Lord, most every church, there's people who should be there but just aren't. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to their heart. And Lord, bring them back to yourself. I pray that, Lord, you'd use these days now for our good, but most of all for your glory, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. David said, "Let me never be ashamed." I do not believe that David is speaking there about just like simple embarrassment. You know, you ever play that game, what's your most embarrassing moment? I ain't playing that game with you. You could forget that, amen, you know, but we've all, you know, done something, you know, we've all wore two different color socks and said, "I've got another pair like them at home," you know, that old joke and all of those things, we've done that. I can go to Rallies or McDonald's, Wendy's and do pretty good, but if we go to one of them fancy restaurants, you know, maybe your anniversary or something, we go to a fancy restaurant every now and then, and my wife Diana will sit down and she'll just look at me and say, "Go ahead and spill your tea now and get it over with." You know, I mean, you know, it's something about that white tablecloth, you know, and I'm going to get it, you know. I think God, you know how your children will kind of do something and you look down at them and just kind of, you know, grin? You know, I think God has a sense of humor, don't you? I think he looks down at us and, you know, you got to have a sense of humor. Look at a giraffe. I mean, he's got to have a sense of humor. Amen. You know, you ever say something the second you say it? Oh, that was dumb, you know. You can be sitting in a car, four wheels buried in mud, axles buried in mud, have five teenage boys behind you pushing with all they got, and somebody will pull up and roll down the window, and what do they say? Are you stuck? No, we just playing in the mud, you know. Are you stuck? I heard about a train that's going down the track, and blah, 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 you know, and all of a sudden it went, they said, we've hit a cow, but we'll be on our way soon. And some lady said, was it on the tracks? He said, no, ma'am, we chased her all the way to the barn, but we got her. You know, we got her, you know. I mean, sometimes we say things, and they're just silly. But I don't believe God's angry about that. I think he almost kind of delights in it sometimes. I just do. Now, let me say this. There are some things we ought to be ashamed of. Amen? You know, two times in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Now listen to this. And neither could they blush. Isn't that interesting? When's the last time you saw a man blush? I remember when I was a little child, you know, you would see something, you would hear something, maybe something would happen or whatever. And it's kind of embarrassing. And I remember seeing grown men kind of turn red in the face. We don't do that anymore. Heard it all, seen it all, too many have done it all. We have got used to it. When's the last time you saw a woman blush? I mean, you can't check out the grocery store without seeing things on them magazines that ought not be discussed nowhere except in a bedroom with your spouse, maybe in a doctor's office. But I mean, there are things that just we ought to be embarrassed about, but we're not anymore. Amen? I went with Diane to Kroger's the other day. Oh, my soul. You say, well, you're ashamed at how they were dressed? I was ashamed at how they weren't dressed. I mean, it was I told Diana, I said, there's more loin and thigh and rump running around out here in these aisles than there is back in the meat department. I mean, I never saw nothing like it in all of my life. It's embarrassing. You can't go to Kroger's anymore. Amen? There are some things that ought to, and we're not embarrassed anymore. We ought to be embarrassed at sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says they ran, and what did they do? They hid themselves. Why did they hide? Because they were ashamed. Because they were ashamed of their sin and they ran to hide. I'm ashamed that we're still killing the most innocent part of our population in America. There's been a good ruling here lately, but it's still, and we still have blood running in our, I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed that we've decided that we will tell God what marriage is. Marriage is still one man to one woman in God's view. Amen? We can't even figure out if you're a boy or a girl. I had me an idea. I decided I'm going to be trans-slendered. Wouldn't that be great? You know? I'm really kind of portly and pudgy, but I identify with being slender inside, and so I'm going to be trans-slendered, and if you don't agree with me and support me, all of my problems are your fault. We have lost our minds, amen? And we need to get back to being ashamed of sin, ashamed of it. My little grandson, Joshua, he got in trouble. He got in trouble for doing, he was talking in church or something. So he had to sit with me when I was there. I've gone a lot, but when I was there, he has to sit with Papaw because he got in trouble. I didn't much like being the punishment, you know, but I got to say with Papaw, that's awful, you know. So I was sitting back in the back, and Joshua was sitting up next to him. It was on a Sunday night. I was at Moraine Heights, and Patrick, he's just letting him have it. You know, he's preaching about abortion. He's preaching about pornography. He's preaching about lying. He's preaching about the state lottery. I mean, he just wasn't taking no prisoners, amen, you know. And there he goes. Part of Joshua's punishment was he had to sit with me and take notes of every sermon. So I'm hollering amen, you know, and I'm rooting for Patrick, and he's doing a good job. And he's just preaching about, you know, pornography and gambling and all that stuff. And the thought struck me, what does Joshua's, he can just barely write, what do his notes look like? So I looked over there, and he wrote to these big old letters. Everything's a capital letter, sticks, you know. And I looked down at it, and Joshua had written down, God is not happy. Joshua was right. God is not happy. Now you listen to me, folks. A.W. Tozier, he said, we're having a revival meeting. A.W. Tozier said the key to that is to do a good job of repenting. Us Baptists, bless our hearts. We've figured out all these shortcuts. And Lord, forgive us when we have failed thee. Amen. Well, isn't that sweet? You say something wrong with that? It's better than nothing. But what helps me is, Lord, you told me to give a tract to that guy on the elevator, and I just hesitated, and he got away, and that was wrong. And God, I'm not. That won't happen the next time. That works better in my heart than forgive us when we have failed thee. That's, you see what I'm saying? Maybe, Lord, I was short with my wife and answered her sharply right before I left the house because I was upset about something else. And Lord, she did not deserve that. And I'm going to go home and apologize to her. I want you to forgive me before I acted. That works better in my heart than, Lord, if I've done something wrong, I'm sorry, you know. Do a good job. You say, what are you talking about? Whatever the Holy Ghost is talking to you about right now. You ever have a Holy Ghost hop up in your lap and thump you in the chest? I have. We need to be ashamed of sin. But there's some things, thank the Lord, that we should never be ashamed of. Amen? Never be ashamed of. Look at Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16. And we'll scoot along here. Romans 1 and verse number 16. Paul said this. He said, for I am not ashamed. Next three words. Of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. God help us to never be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Terrell, who in the world would be ashamed of the gospel? I think there are people now that, there are people having big seminars all across America, and they're having these home Bible groups come in, and they'll go and pray for the preacher that God will enlighten him in this wonderful truth. And they're saying things like that it was the death of Christ and not the blood that takes care of my sin. I know too much Bible for that, Buster. Amen? You know, without the shedding of blood is no remission. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. And they say you could bludgeon Christ to death or bleed him to death. It doesn't make any... Yes, it does. All through the Old Testament, it was the blood shed and the blood applied. And Christ Jesus took his own precious blood and sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven. And it yet speaketh and tells me I'm saved. The devil tells him he's lost. The blood, God help us to never be ashamed of the blood. Amen? People call it a bloody religion, and they say we need to get the hayseed out of our hair and come of age and remember that we're living in modern times. Maybe we do live in 2023, but without the shedding of blood is no remission. Amen? And when you get away from the blood, you've gone to a spot that you ought not to be. Thank God for the blood. Amen? God, don't be ashamed of the blood. Don't be ashamed of that. Friend, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, that blood was shed for you. The lady saying, he became our sin, and the wrath of God was executed against my sin and your sin in the person of Christ. He shed his blood. He paid the sin debt. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's the power of the gospel. It saves and all it always has. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, it'll save you. You can get saved today. I believe that those who refuse I believe there are people who deny the resurrection are ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. There are preachers in Dayton. There are preachers probably not far from here that say that what survived was the message and that what came out of the grave was the message of love and all of those things. You listen to me. Christ rose bodily from the grave, and what came out of that grave was the Lord Jesus Christ, physically, bodily. And he ascended back to the Father, and as he went, he's coming back. Amen? And those who deny the resurrection of Christ, it seems to me that they're just ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Amen? These kids are going to pass out tracts in that parade. I think that is wonderful. It's going to tell people how to be saved. And they're going to trust in a risen Savior that came out of the grave. Amen? And I serve a risen Savior today. God help us not be ashamed of the gospel. God help us to not be ashamed of the Bible. Amen? Look at Mark 8 and verse number 38. Mark 8 and verse number 38. Now watch this. Whosoever therefore, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father. It's true, though the cover is worn, the pages are torn, though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide. It's a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find, Susan, gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. Fall in love with the Bible. Amen? You say, Brother Charles, this doesn't seem like God works in my life. Fall in love with the Bible. I don't understand all of it. Obey to the very best you can everything that you do understand, and you'll be amazed how you start to understand stuff you used to not understand. Just do what it says. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. You kids, you might go somewhere in a biology classroom or whatever and go in there and they sit down. And they'll tell you that, you know, that your preacher, he bless his heart, he tries, but he needs to stick with spiritual matters. And the whole truth is, you know, that we came from monkeys and all that. Somebody said, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey in a banyan tree, but now I'm a doctor with a PhD. Amen? I mean, that's what, you know, you go to kindergarten, and they tell you in kindergarten, they said, you know, a frog became a prince. And then you get in college, they say, yeah, that's true. Come on, don't you get that? They used to say that when you got sick, they got to bleed you, and then you'll get better. They killed George Washington. They used to say the world was flat. They used to say all kinds of crazy things. But in every instance, men become a liar, but God remains true. Amen? Still true. That's when a man leaves his time, he becomes a philosopher, not a scientist. Real quick, if you come in our home and bathtub's full of water and it's dripping, if I said, hey, let's play a game, you figure out how long that water's been dripping, what would you do? You'd probably run in there and get you a little measuring cup and see how long it takes to get a cup, and then you'd dip out everything and see how many cups is in it, and then you'd say, well, it's been dripping for, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. Well, how do you know that I didn't just fill it up 5 minutes before you got to the house? Do you see what I'm saying? You weren't there. You don't know. You trust the one that's never changed his mind or altered his hypothesis, and he's still true today. I believe that God created man by a direct creative act. I believe he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, just like God said, and I don't think we need to apologize for that. Amen? That's, when you start apologizing for it, you start taking it down and attacking it, then you're going to come up with all kinds of problems. I heard about a guy, he was in biology class, and he was like Wright State or Ohio State, 400 people in there. And he was telling this story, he was teaching about the gastrointestinal tract of marine mammals. And he made this statement. He said, surely, none of my students would believe this nonsense of a man. He said, I'm glad that none of my students would be so ignorant as to believe that. Surely nobody believes that. And way up in the balcony, a young man stuck his hand up. Oh, stand up. He said, explain to the class so we can all be enlightened. When we've studied the pH of the gastrointestinal tract and the lack of oxygen in the bottom of the sea and all of that, you tell us how a man could live 3 days and three nights so we'll all be as smart as you. That young man said, sir, I don't know. He said, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. Professor said, what if he ain't there? The young man said, then you can ask him. Amen. Listen, I believe Jonah's in heaven. Amen. You know, don't get me wrong. But I believe that he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, too. I heard about a biology class one time when the professor came out and he had him a board. And on that board, he had feet of birds, 10 sets. And he brought them out there and he set it down and said, take out a white piece of paper, we've got an exam today, and 1 through 10, you tell us what the species is of these birds. And there they were. This young boy in the back, he said, he stood up and he said, this is a stupid test, and this is a stupid school, and you're a stupid professor. And the professor said, young man, you tell me your name. And he said, "You tell me." Oh, don't you think that's funny? He brings up his britchy legs, you know. That's funny. You listen, they don't know it all. You listen. You go outside right after the storm went up through and the sun's peeking up and the dew is on the roses. Old S.M. Lockridge says, Da Vinci had to sign his work and Michelangelo had to sign his work, but that doesn't need a signature. There's only one that does that. Amen? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your Bible. Amen? Don't be ashamed. Carry it. Let people see it. Read it every day. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen? Thank God for the old black book. God help us to never be ashamed of the gospel. And God help us to never be ashamed of the Bible. God help us to never be ashamed of Christ. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. Paul said, For I cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You say, well, Brother Terrell, that's fine, but who would be ashamed of Christ? Old Jack Hiles was in the barbershop one day, and there was a guy, and he was cussing and carrying on, and they was using the Lord's name in vain. And I wasn't in the barbershop, but I heard this story. And finally, he said, all right, that's it. First time in his life he ever preached in a robe. And he said, all right, guys, I've sat here for 10 minutes. You use my name's Lord in vain. You dragged it through the mud. You blasphemed. He said, the next 10 minutes are mine. And he said, I'm going to tell you what that Jesus means to me. Amen. And he just said how that he loved the Lord and how he changed his life and how that made a difference in his family and all of those things. He said, nobody got saved. He said, but they didn't quit. They quit their blasphemy until I left. You know, sometimes we're at the post office, sometimes we're at McDonald's, sometimes we're here or there, and very often, child of God, we're the only ones that's there that knows the Lord. Why is it that if they insulted Kentucky basketball or Duke or Ohio State, we'd speak up, but we sit there with our Baptist teeth in our mouth when they're blaspheming our Lord as if, well, I don't want to cause a scene. You'd cause a scene over the Blue Duke Devils or the Ohio Buckeyes or the Kentucky Wildcats. Now, I'm not saying to be arrogant, and I'm not saying to carry around a big family Bible and beat people in the side of the head with it. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that what's wrong with you? Talk about my mama now. I'm going to say something. If I speak up for my mama, I ought to speak up for the Lord that my mama taught me about. Amen? We don't have to be arrogant. We don't have to be mean. But you listen to me very often. You or I are the only one in that position. And sadly, most of us can look back at times when we just kind of sat there and didn't say nothing. If we weren't ashamed, we acted like we were. Amen? God help us. I'm glad that people are being baptized today. That's wonderful. That says a lot. One of the things that it says is they're not ashamed of the decision that they have made to trust Christ. They're showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The Bible speaks about bearing the reproach of Christ. When my daddy was a little boy, Kentucky, everybody lived on a creek. I don't know why, but everybody grows up on creeks. Everybody grows up on a creek. And they one day, him and my mean uncles, they decided what they was going to do is they were going to, they got some duck eggs and put them in the chicken's nest. A chicken hatches in 3 weeks and a duck hatches in 4 weeks. Did you know almost everything on the planet, if you take the average of it with a big sample, you'll come up with divisible by a number of weeks? There's only a couple of exceptions in the world. If evolution was true, that could not happen. Why is it humans 40 weeks? Why is it average for a big sample? Why is that? I think because God is the author of life, and he put his number upon life, and you come up with weeks. Drove Darwin crazy. He never had an answer. I got an answer. God's the creator of life. Amen? Where was I at? Anyway, the ducks. That poor chicken sat there and thought her kids was a week late, and then when they were finally born, she had the ugliest kids on the holler. You know what I mean? You know, the little things were born, and they had their little bills up in the air, and what did they do? They went to the creek. Why did they go to the creek? Because that's their nature. And then the poor old chicken, she was running up down the bank and flying over and across the little creek and going crazy. Why did the little ducks go? Because it was their nature. Child of God, when a person is saved, what my experience has been, when you show a new convert, now this is what you need to do. This first step as you're serving the Lord, it does not save, but it tells everybody you have been saved. It's the nature of a convert to get baptized. And when we don't, when someone doesn't, and preacher didn't tell me one thing, you know, but if you're sitting here saying, well, I've been saved, but I just haven't done that yet, well, why not? Do it. Get it done. I won't pray about it. You don't need to pray about that. God already said to do it. Just do it. Amen. When I was growing up, one of my favorite part of every Sunday was when my daddy baptized people. You say, was you spiritual? No, not a bit. But what it was, back in those days, the women all wore their hair up on their head, kind of like the Tower of Babel. You know what I'm saying? You know, and me and Mark Collins thought it was the neatest thing in the world when they come up out of that water. Their hair be all down, that water's falling out, you know. I used to take pictures before and after. You know, I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in all of my life, you know. There is something kind of humbling about it. You know, I mean, they get you there, they slosh you out of the water, they raise you up. There's something, but I'm going to tell you something. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God, and it's saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. God help us to never say something. Say something. Can we talk here for a minute? There's nobody here but us, so let's talk. That urge of the Holy Ghost. Child of God, you know that just like I do. Say something to that guy. Say something. You know, wherever you're at work or at school or gas station or whatever, when that Spirit of God speaks to my heart and to yours, look at a person and say, hey, let me tell you the best thing that ever happened to me when I got saved. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You say, I don't know how to do that. Yes, you do. Witnessing is nothing more than one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all it amounts to. Amen? Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. But sadly, you listen to me, we're going to have bloody hands someday before God when we had those opportunities and God said, nudged us and said, say something, but we don't. We don't. God help us to never be ashamed. Amen? Never be ashamed. That Acts 5 and verse number 40. Watch this. And to the apostles, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I'm not looking to try to be a martyr. I'm not looking to try to suffer. But you listen, but Christian, listen to me. The lack of persecution that we have seen is an abnormality in church history. You study 2,000 years of church history. We think we're suffering for Jesus when a visitor gets our seat. All right, amen. You know, after all, we're independent Baptists. Suffering, I'm not looking for it, but God never said it wouldn't happen. And if you'll look at where we were 10 years ago in America and where we're at right now and the attitude toward the blood-bought child of God, we've become the bad guys, the far right-wing, troublemaking, illogical. And I'm just saying, if that, I'm going on 69. How in the world did that happen? I've had a good life, God's been good to me. I look at my grandkids, though, and wonder if the Lord tarries, what will they face? I do that. Don't you all? Y'all, I do. What will happen? We have brothers and sisters in Christ in places like China, North Korea, and the Sudan, and other places around the world, and they don't worship like we do this morning. Amen? Not without fear of their own life. I was preaching down in Hazard, Kentucky years ago. My grandfather was still alive, and I was staying with him, and he lived not far from Jackson. We was driving down to Hazard. I remember every day we went through Rowdy, Kentucky. It's Rowdy, Kentucky. And believe it or not, there was a Brethren church there. And they had a big old sign up, the Church of the Rowdy Brethren. I thought that was the neatest church sign I ever saw in all of my life. I took a picture of that. I got lots of pictures, you know. That, I've been in a few of those Church of Rowdy Brethren, you know. But anyway, we went and right outside of Hazard. Anybody here from Hazard? Hazard, Kentucky? There you go. God's country. Amen. Well, I didn't go on in a coal truck. But anyway, it's hot. Man, it's hot. They didn't have air conditioning. Had all the windows open, flies. Sweet people, though. Man, it's good people. I mean, I hated to leave. I just loved them people. And I was sitting over there kind of looking at some notes, and a little girl came up. This is years ago. This changed my life. I mean, I wasn't the same after that night. A little girl came up, and she was singing that song, "When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind." Pretty song. She's just a little sweet little girl. I don't know, maybe 12. I don't know. And she started singing, had a pretty voice. It was very normal. And the preacher leaned over and he said, "Terrell," he said, "she's only been saved a couple of weeks." I said, "Oh, still not all that unusual." He said, "Her mom's a drunk." Now, if you're offended by that and you want me to say alcoholic, I'm not trying to be mean, but God says drunk. That's a biblical term. He said, "Her mama's a drunk." And when she got saved, word beat her home. They lived in pretty much a shack on the side of a hill in southeastern Kentucky. A porch on the front of the house stuck up with black locust poles. You know what I'm saying? And she was about to come down the road and started inside the gate, and she started screaming and cussing. She had been in the house, and she took that little kid's clothes, her dolls. She's just a little girl. Dolls. Everything she could lay her hands on, and had thrown it out into the front yard. And she began to cuss and to scream. "You think you're better than me. You're going to shame your mama. You think you're better than mama now, don't you?" And she was furious. And that little kid just got saved, and she's out there picking up dolls. She's just a child. And started walking down the road. I mean, I'm sitting there. I haven't heard another word this girl is saying. I'm listening. I said, "How in the world?" And he said, "Me and my wife, we were driving home, and we saw her walking down the road, holding everything she could, just bawling. I mean, just shaking." And we pulled up and rolled the window down and said, "Honey, what in the world is wrong with you?" And she told them that's what had just happened. And the preacher said, "Honey, you get in the car with my wife and I, and you go home with us tonight, and we're going to take care of you. You'll stay at our house, and we're going to see that we're going to take care of you." And they were in the process of trying to get custody of her when I was preaching. And I looked up at that little girl, and I thought, my soul, I've been saved all of these years, and I've never been through anything even close to what she's going through. Not even close. She probably having a hard time figuring out who loved her, but she knew that when he was on the cross, he loved her. She'd figured that much out. You know how many of us, it'd have been tempting to say, "Well, I ain't going to have, if this is what happens when you get saved, I don't want nothing to do with it." It'd be easy to get mad. It'd be easy to go home and try to take some of mom's booze or something. I'd be real easy. But she chose not to do that. She kept a sweet spirit. She was up on the platform trying to be a blessing to others, doing all she knew to do for the glory of God. And I was sitting there thinking, "Terrell, if anything even close to that happened to you, would you act halfway as mature and as loving and as spirit-filled as that little girl is acting?" I'm going to write me a book someday on what I've seen people quit over. I've seen people quit over ping pong tables in the basement. I've seen people quit over, they never sing my favorite song. I've seen people quit over, they ought not play them guitars in the church. You name it, and I've seen people quit over it, and 99 times out of 100, it don't amount to a hill of beans. It's just pride, and it's just babyishness, and it's just not growing up for the glory of God. Listen, folks, if we're going to act like that over a ping pong table, how are we going to act if real persecution ever comes? I don't know if those days, our church is up on a hill. It is 50 foot tall, then it's got a 50 foot steeple and valley. You know, I've told my church many a time, I've said, folks, the days of big churches on tops of hills, we might see those days go away in our lifetime. If we go back to the way that they're worshiping in North Korea and in China and in other places in the world, I want to tell you something. The candy-legged soldiers won't be there. There's going to be a lot of crowd that's going to run off like cockroaches at 2 in the morning when you turn the kitchen light on. But those that are there, you mark my words, we'll have some of the best services we've ever had in all of our lives. Amen. Amen. 1 John says, and God help us that when he may appear, I may not be ashamed at his coming. Help us to not be ashamed when he comes. There's a preacher down south, and he had all these little girls. They was all like, you know, 2 years apart or whatever. And his mama's birthday, this is a long time ago, he got all the girls in the car, and they're going off to the general store. He gave every one of them a dollar, and he said, get something for mama for her birthday. True story. So in they went. One of them got a big bolt of cloth. One of them got a big frying pan. You could buy stuff back in then with a dollar. Nowadays, but anyway. So they all getting their treasures to give mama. The least one, the little one, you know. She went running by the candy counter. You remember those glass candy counters? You'd look in there and they'd scoop it out, you know. She stuck her nose up against there and tried to smell, and big old chocolate drops in there. The man came up, can I help you? And she held up her dollar. Give me a dollar. He put it in a brown paper sack, handed it to her, took the dollar, all went back and got in the car. They're going home to mama. Frying pan, bolt of cloth, all those different presents. That little one had that box, that bag of candy, and she looked down there and she... And the other one saw her. Well, give us a piece. No. No. You bought that. That's my dollar, you know. And then she got afraid they was going to take it. So she had jaw stuck out. Started running down her cheek. Was getting on her little dress. The daddy looked up in the rearview mirror and he saw all that going on. Didn't say a word. They got home. Out of the car they came. That one girl ran up, had a bolt of cloth, and mama hugged her and says, I'll make us both a dress. It'll be the same. We'll wear it to church. And one of them ran up with a frying pan. And one by one, that little girl, that daddy said it was a sound unlike anything he'd ever heard come out of a child. It was a wail. That little baby just wailed and began to weep and shake. And that mama ran back there. And she's sitting there with chocolate on her little dress and an empty sack. And mama ran and said, honey, it's okay. And she says, I had a dollar, but I don't have anything to give you. I spent it on myself. I don't have anything. I spent it on me. And as much as mama tried to console her, nothing could change the old song says, must I go an empty-handed? And must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? I hope it's not pride, but I don't want everybody else to have a crown to lay at his feet and me not have nothing. I want something to lay at his feet. I want something. And when he comes, I don't want to be ashamed. Amen? God help us to not be ashamed. Not be ashamed of Christ. Not be ashamed of the gospel. Not be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of your church. If we had more time, I'd preach about not being ashamed of it being a Baptist church. Amen? But we'll let that one go. But I'm not. And when he comes, I don't want to be ashamed. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I may tell you, Brother Turtle, I'm glad that I know that I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I know. And you may, Pastor Thompson may do invitations a little differently than I do, and that's okay. But I will assure you, I will not embarrass you. I won't run back and try to pull you down the aisle or anything like that. I've never done that in over 40 years, and I'm sure not going to start now. But I would like to pray for you. And with my word to you that I will not, I won't run you down the parking lot and say, hey, I saw you raise your hand. Let me talk to you. If you want to talk to me, I'd be honored. But I won't even run you down in the parking lot. I won't do that. I just want to pray. I mean to say, Brother Terrell, most of these people seem like they know that heavens are home, but I can't say that. You can't look back to a time in your life when you trusted Christ as Savior. And or maybe you look back and say, Brother Terrell, I prayed once, but it just seemed like nothing happened. But whatever the case may be, you just say, I can't tell you that I know that I'm saved. I can't tell you that I know I've got a home waiting in heaven. Now, I won't embarrass you, but if you would let me pray for you, I'd be honored. Anybody say, preacher, that's me. Either I know I'm lost or preacher, I don't know. I'm just so confused. Can I pray for you? Anybody like that? I won't embarrass you, but I'd love to pray. Anyone real quick? Real quick. How many say, Brother Terrell, God spoke to my heart this morning? Maybe it's about something. You'd say, maybe it's Brother Terrell, next time at McDonald's, I'm going to say something. I'm going to pass out that track on that elevator. God spoke to my heart, and with His help, there have been times in the past when I should have said something and I didn't. But next time, with God's help, I'll do better. And you say, Brother Troll, God spoke to my heart this morning, and pray with me about that. Can I pray with you? Anyone like that? Say, Brother Troll, next time it'll be different. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Real quick. Next time it'll be different. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray if there be one here lost, they'd be saved. I didn't see any hands. But Lord, I preach to ears, but I figured out a long time ago, you speak to hearts. And Lord, if there be someone here that's not certain, it's not settled, God help them to understand that they're in a group of people that loves them, and that they can come and someone will be their friend and open it, simple it is. Lord, I pray they'd get it settled today. Lord, maybe some have never been baptized, and Lord, they've just never done that. And Lord, they haven't. They'd say I put it off, but I'm going to get it done. And Lord, maybe it's someone that's not scheduled this morning, but they've just been putting it off. But they say I want to get ready for the next time. Lord, maybe some just need to come and pray. But whatever it is, Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have the music. We begin to play. If God's speaking to your heart, would you come? Find an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Your friend can come with you. That'll be okay. They become as a family. You're not certain that heaven's your home. There's folks here that'll open the Bible and they'll pray with you. They'll answer your questions. They'll do that. Maybe God's convicted you. You look back on times when you had such an opportunity to say something, but we just didn't. And you say, by God's grace, next time. The love of Christ, not arrogant, not mean, but I'll be a good witness. God's speaking, get it settled. Would you come right now? Come on. Don't wait. Get it done right now. Come on. Folks here praying. Waiting not, rid my soul. Can cleanse each spot. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Come on. Folks here praying, let's play another stanza. God's speaking, you can obey. See, I don't even know what to say if I go up there. There's people here that have helped many others. They can help you. Get it settled. We'll keep putting it off and keep putting it off. It'll never happen. Just say, getting it done today. Would you obey the Lord? Come as we sing. Come on. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Come on.